Thanks be to God, for he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, in your mind, what makes a confrontation between two teams great? You may think that what makes that confrontation great is if both teams are pretty equal. After all, if one team is far more powerful than the other, it's not that great of a battle. Maybe you think that what makes a confrontation great is if it's a personal, bitter rivalry and that these two teams have faced each other before. Maybe you think that what makes a confrontation great is if the stakes are pretty high and that something is on the line. This morning, we focus on the greatest confrontation that has ever happened. In one corner, you have Satan, who is the father of all lies. And in the other corner, you have Jesus, who is the God of all truth. But what makes this the ultimate battle between good versus evil? Well, both Satan and Jesus are incredibly powerful. They are far more powerful than you and I. They have been battling against each other for a long time. For ever since Satan fell into sin, he has been battling against God. And the stakes of this battle are of the utmost importance. For if Satan wins, then we are lost and condemned in our sin. But if Jesus wins, we have a Savior from our sins. So in this ultimate battle between good versus evil, who is going to win? Luke gives us the background of how this battle began. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. After Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Why would the Holy Spirit do that to Jesus? Well, the reason this happened was to prepare Jesus for his earthly ministry as our Savior. Think about it in this way. If someone were to ask you, "How is Jesus your Savior?" how would you respond? I think our go-to answer is to say, "Jesus is my Savior because he died for me." And that certainly is true. Jesus is your Savior because he died for you. But he's also your Savior in another way. If Jesus were never tempted to sin, then he couldn't be our Savior from sin. But since he lived like one of us, was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, then he is our Savior. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan, do not think that since Jesus is true God, that these temptations were no problem for him. Jesus was also true man. And Scripture tells us he himself suffered when he was tempted. These temptations were very real for Jesus. They were not easy. He suffered while being tempted. And Satan tried his best to make Jesus fall into sin. Just take a look at the first temptation. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." During the 40 days that Jesus was in the desert, he didn't eat a single thing. You could just imagine how famished Jesus must have been. But why would it have been wrong for Jesus to use his power to turn a stone into bread. This would have been sinful because Jesus would have been using his divine powers to satisfy his own needs. For when Satan tempted Jesus here, he was tempting Jesus to think that God didn't care about him. But that is why Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." By saying this, Jesus was trusting that God did care about him and that God would provide for him. Do you act like Jesus when Satan tempts you in this way? You may be saying to yourself, "Well, Satan can't tempt me in this way because I don't have the power to change stone into bread." But even though none of us has that power, the very essence and meaning behind Satan's temptation still applies to us. Satan will say to you, if God cares about you, then he will provide for you. So why is it that you have financial problems? Why is it that you have struggles in your life? Why is it that God doesn't even keep temptations away from you? So when God says he cares about you, there's no meaning behind that. Even though Satan is clearly lying to us, we listen to him. And we can begin to think that we can't trust in God, but that we have to rely on ourselves. Therefore, we can act just like Achan that we heard in our first lesson. Achan took some treasures for himself when no one was looking. Maybe in the same way when our parents aren't looking, we go into their purse, we open up their wallet, and we steal some of that money for ourselves. Or maybe we have been dishonest in our dealings with each other, that we make sure that we get more out of it and that the other person gets less. And when it comes to all the other struggles that we have in life, we may think there's no point in praying to God about them because he's not going to take care of them anyway. When it comes to this temptation, we have not acted like Jesus and we have sinned against God. But even though Jesus defeated Satan with his first temptation, Satan wasn't done with Jesus. He took him up to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Once again, Satan is clearly lying here. All of these things had not been given to him. Since God created everything, everything belongs to God. And Satan knew that. So why does he tempt Jesus in this way? He wants Jesus to take the easy way out. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. But here in this temptation, the devil is saying to Jesus, "I can give you everything in the world, and the world will serve you. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to die. Jesus, just take the easy way out." But Jesus said to Satan, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus rejected what the devil wanted and accepted his Father's will, which was to serve others and to die for all people. Do you act like Jesus when Satan tempts you in this way? Satan will say to you, "You do realize that as a Christian, you too will suffer and be hated just like Christ was. And you know deep down you don't want to deal with that. So go ahead. Take the easy way out. Worship and serve me, and I will give you everything that you want. You may say to yourself, I would never fall into that temptation. I will never worship and serve Satan. But I will say to you, prove it. Prove that you truly worship and serve the Lord only. For when it comes to worshiping and serving the Lord, it doesn't just happen here on Sunday morning. It happens each and every moment of our lives. Do you truly serve the Lord and Him only? Take a look at everything that you did this past week alone. How many times did you serve the Lord? And how many times did you serve Satan by disobeying God? Even on our best day, we do not fully serve the Lord in all that we think, say, or do. Just like the Apostle Paul, we have to say, the good that I want to do, I don't do it. But the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. When it comes to this temptation, we have not acted like Jesus, and we have sinned against God. But Satan still wasn't done with Jesus. He had one more temptation up his sleeve. He took Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Here we see just how crafty Satan is. He even quoted scripture to tempt Jesus. And considering how Jesus was the Son of God, if he threw himself down, it is a safe assumption that the angels would have saved him. But unlike the devil who was quoting scripture falsely, Jesus quoted the truth of scripture to Satan. It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. After Jesus said this, the devil left him, but not for good. Satan was still looking for more opportune times to tempt Jesus. But what about you? Do you act like Jesus when Satan tempts you in this way? He is very crafty. And he will say to you, it is written in Scripture that God is love. It is written that where sin increases, God's grace increases all the more. God will always forgive you. So go ahead. Pour yourself another drink. Satisfy your lust by using the internet. Join in the gossip of others. Hold on to your grudges. Talk back to your parents. Misuse God's name when you're angry. Sleep in on Sunday. And don't worry about repenting of these sins today. There's always tomorrow. And if you don't do it tomorrow, you can do it when you finally go to church. This is nothing more than lies upon lies upon lies. For when Satan tells us that God is love and that he will always forgive us, he doesn't want us to focus on how gracious our God is. He just wants us to lead a more sinful life that will lead us away from our gracious God. And we should know better. But we listen to him. And we test the Lord our God and his grace. When it comes to this temptation, we have not acted like Jesus and we have sinned against our God. In fact, when it comes to every confrontation that we ourselves have against Satan, we will always fail. He will always win. because we don't have the power to fight against Satan. And even though it looked like Satan stood over us victorious and we were defeated by sin, Jesus stepped in our behalf as our substitute. And he fought against Satan and his temptations. He defeated Satan and crushed his head by dying for our sins on the cross. So even though we fall into temptation and deserve God's condemnation, God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has won the war against Satan, but we still have daily battles against him. How can we possibly win those battles? Well, we have two weapons in our arsenal to defeat Satan. The first weapon is God himself. Remember what the book of Hebrews told us this morning. Even though Jesus was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. With confidence, we can pray to God for help. And that's exactly what we do in the Lord's Prayer. For in the Lord's Prayer, we pray to God, lead us not into temptation. By praying this, we are asking God to keep temptations away from us. And when we are tempted, we are asking him to give us the strength to fight against that temptation. And God has given us exactly what we need to fight against those temptations. For our second weapon that we have in our arsenal is the very Word of God. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he did not use his divine powers to make Satan flee from him. He simply quoted scripture, and then Satan had to leave him. In the same way, when you quote scripture to Satan, he must flee from you as well. This is why it is so important for us to be in God's Word regularly. Because the more we know about God's Word, the more equipped we are to fight against Satan and all of his temptations. Now, will there still be times when we will fall into sin? Absolutely. Each and every day we will fall into temptation. But God and his Word assures us that when we repent of our sins, he daily and fully forgives us. He forgives us because in this ultimate battle between good versus evil, Jesus triumphed over Satan. Even though Satan is incredibly powerful, Christ is almighty and more powerful than him. Even though Satan has been battling against God since he fell into sin, God is the one who always gets the victory. And even though Satan tried his best to make Jesus sin, since the stakes for our eternal salvation were so high, Jesus still came out victorious. And since Jesus has conquered Satan, he now gives you the victory, and he is there to help you. May God continue to guide you and to give you strength as you battle against Satan and his temptations. And may he give you the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.